This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Willing to testify. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, September 21st, glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her in the 1980s has identified new conditions for answering lawmakers' questions.
Curfews remain in effect for parts of flooded North Carolina, where some rivers still have yet to crest from Hurricane Florence.
A special report from the CDC finds drugs and suicide have dropped life expectancy in the U.S., to levels lower than other developed nations.
And Apple's new strategy with its latest iPhones.
Essentially, they're starting the prices high, hoping that they can kind of upsell those people who are pressing to get new devices earlier. You know, if you're eager to buy one, maybe you'll come in and you'll say, you know, I don't really want to spend $1,000, but this is the only one available. I'm going to go ahead and get one. This is what analysts say the strategy could allow.
Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle on Apple releasing its pricier phones first. His report in about 20 minutes. An attorney for the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her when they were in high school says she's willing to testify on Capitol Hill next week, but not on Monday as scheduled. Attorney Deborah Katz said in an email to lawmakers that Christine Blasey Ford wishes to testify, provided they can agree on terms that are fair and which ensure her safety. Ms. Katz also raised questions about what media would be present. Dr. Ford has asked for Judge Kavanaugh to testify first. Her camp prefers to hold the hearing on Thursday. Deborah Ford Peters is the sister-in-law of Dr. Ford.
She doesn't want her story misrepresented in the way that it was leaked, but I think she also feels strongly that the story needs to be heard by the American public, that they need to know what this man did in his youth so that he's held responsible.
Dr. Ford, a psychology professor at Palo Alto University, has alleged that at a high school party in the 1980s, Judge Kavanaugh groped her and tried to remove her clothes. Judge Kavanaugh has denied the allegation. A woman working at a drugstore warehouse in Maryland opened fire on colleagues, killing three people before fatally shooting herself. Authorities say the temporary worker, 26-year-old Snochia Mosley, got into an argument shortly before the incident at the Rite Aid distribution facility in Aberdeen.
There were people shot inside and outside the business. We believe it began outside and moved inside.
Harford County Sheriff Jeffrey Goller says there's no motive at this time.
She was armed with one handgun and several magazines. No shots were fired by any law enforcement responder.
Workers at the facility described terrifying moments of what they called crazy gunfire. People screaming and running in all directions. The sheriff says the shooter used a 9mm Glock that was registered in her name. She died at a hospital from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The attack comes almost 3 months after a man attacked a newspaper office in Annapolis, Maryland. Five staff members were killed in that shooting. Wilmington, North Carolina remains cut off by floodwaters caused by Hurricane Florence, and more than 200 roads across the state were closed or blocked. It was 1 week ago when the epic storm made landfall and proceeded to drop some 3 feet of rain on parts of the Carolinas. Rivers are still rising in some areas. The North Carolina Department of Public Safety says several rivers in North Carolina showed major flooding, and some had still not crested as of last evening, although others had begun to recede. Here's Governor Roy Cooper.
Many storm deaths occur after the storm has passed, especially when rivers overflow their banks or when people try to cross flooded roads or drive around barricades.
Curfews remained in effect in several areas, and residents were advised that it was not safe to return to Wilmington because the few roads that could be opened even briefly were needed for emergency workers. At least 36 deaths have been attributed to the storm, including 27 in North Carolina. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Some coastal residents of North Carolina who evacuated ahead of Hurricane Florence and the flooding are starting to make their way home. One of them is Levi McCorvey, who's planning today to leave his in-laws' home in Hilton Head, South Carolina, where he's been for more than a week, to his place in Leland, North Carolina, on the Cape Fear River. Levi, what's your current status?
Well, currently I'm still evacuated. We're still in Hilton Head. My in-laws, and, you know, we've been, that's kind of our daily thing, is to try to stay as up to speed of the area as we can, see when a good time to go is, you know, people that stayed, what they're going through, and just asking them their opinion, you know, if it's worth coming back or not. So currently, we're still evacuated. Our plans are actually to leave, to head back based on things we've been hearing and from people that are there and people that are starting to get back and say, you know, they're able to actually make it back. So that's our plan as of now.
Boy, what kind of reports have you been getting from folks in and around Leland?
Not a lot of good. You know, people there are, you know, people struggling with dealing with trees falling on their homes. Of course, flooding. I've had a really good friend that the whole first floor of his house flooded, you know, just not good. People are really struggling to find basic resources. You know, a lot of the grocery stores in the areas, they're only open till certain times of the day due to the curfew. They're only letting so many people in at a time to shop for things. And people are posting on social media, hey, where can I get eggs? Where can I get milk? Where can I get hot meals? So it's still a struggle, even though the hurricane's passed, for people just to get by with daily resources and needs.
We're speaking with Levi McCorvey from Leland, North Carolina, along the Cape Fear River. Was evacuated to Hilton Head, South Carolina, to avoid the remnants of Florence. Take me through the process of the decision to leave. How scary was some of the information, I guess, when you heard that Florence was targeting your area?
Yeah, you know, we really didn't think about evacuating a whole lot until really last Monday night. You know, we kept seeing the hurricane kept growing in strength, and it didn't look like it was changing course. It looked like it was coming right toward the Wilmington area. So, you know, I talked to my wife last Monday night. I was like, we have to make a decision tonight to leave and find somewhere to go. So, and we looked around, you know, we looked west or north or south, and it's hard to tell when the hurricane was so far out, but the best we could guess was it didn't look like it was going to go south. It looked like it was going to go straight up and maybe straight into Wilmington, maybe west and then back north. So we were like, hey, let's just go south. We know people in Hilton Head. We can stay there. And the crazy thing is, at that time, you know, it was so early, Hilton Head had started issuing a mandatory evacuation.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, by that Tuesday, the next day, you have to be on or off this island by noon. So we were like frantic, like, oh, we need to get down there. We trust we trust our gut. The hurricane's not going to come there. So we were like at a breakneck pace that next morning just to try to get to Hilton Head before they wouldn't let anybody on. And the crazy thing is literally 5 minutes before we got off the exit, we got word that they had lifted all the mandatory evacuation orders for the area. So that was a huge sigh of relief for us. So,
Well, you grew up in Louisiana, so you're probably hardened to this, but would folks say in Leland, North Carolina, or perhaps Wilmington, do you get the sense that they'd leave after seeing what happened here from Florence? Or are those folks just kind of committed to, you know, living near the water and they're willing to take the risks?
That's a great question because, you know, that area is really, it's an interesting makeup of population because a huge contingency of the population there originally aren't from there.
Okay.
So, you know, I can see you know, transplants and people moving there going through one of these and say, "Ooh, I got to get out of here." And then, you know, the folks that have been embedded in that area for years and generations, just talking to them, you know, it's something that comes with living there. You know, mm-hmm. It may happen, it may not, but it's like if you choose to live there, and you know, I don't consider moving away from the area at all.
Nice, Levi. Levi McCorvey from Leland, North Carolina. This portion of the program is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. You know what's not smart? Making the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement plan. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, then identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. How fast? 4 out of 5 companies say they find a qualified candidate within the first day. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated #1 by employers in the U.S. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, lawyers for the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh spoke with attorneys for the Senate Judiciary Committee and laid out conditions for her appearance before the panel, including not being in the hearing room with him and assurances that her family will be safe. In a call with Judiciary Committee staff, Deborah Katz, an attorney for Christine Blasey Ford, went through a series of concerns about her client's possible appearance before the committee. At a rally in Las Vegas, President Trump weighed in on Fox News.
Let her have her say, and let's see how it all works out. But I don't think you can delay it any longer. They've delayed it a week already.
Ford's attorneys say the earliest she would appear would be Thursday. Monday is the day Senate Republicans had originally offered for Ford to come testify. Workers say they endured horrifying moments of wild gunfire and terror as a woman working at a drugstore warehouse in Maryland fired on colleagues, killing 3 people before fatally shooting herself. The shooting, which authorities say was touched off when the woman got into an argument yesterday morning, sent survivors screaming and running in all directions from the Rite Aid Distribution Center in northeastern Maryland. Hartford County Sheriff Jeffrey Gaylor describes the weapon used.
It was a single weapon, a 9mm Glock, which was registered and owned by the suspect.
The woman was identified as 26-year-old Snochia Mosley. Police say 5 people, including an 8-year-old girl, have been shot during a memorial service in upstate New York. Syracuse police say the shooting happened about 9 p.m. The victims range in age from 8 to 35. The Syracuse Post-Standard reports that witnesses say they saw 2 to 3 possible shooters. Police have not confirmed the number of shooters or revealed a possible motive. For the first time in 635 days, the Cleveland Browns have won a game. The Browns sealed a 21-17 victory over the Jets last night when Jets rookie quarterback Sam Darnold threw an interception.
Darnold back on 1st and 10. Steps, fires. It's picked off! They got it! Joe Schobert got it! He picked it off at the 43-yard line! Is this how it feels? Is this how it feels to win?
Top draft pick Baker Mayfield replaced injured starter Tyrod Taylor to lead Cleveland to the win.
He came in and just injected so much enthusiasm. I mean, they were calling his name. Tyrod Taylor was struggling. He came in, I think he fired like 3 complete passes, marched them right down the field, and they kicked the field goal at the end of the first half. It was impressive.
Probably some hangovers this morning in Cleveland.
Yep. Is this how it feels to win?
Awesome.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. For the 2nd straight year, Apple is starting to sell its new iPhones at different times, but this time the company is putting its priciest models first. This year, the Wall Street Journal says the company prioritized production of its 2 pricier OLED models, the iPhone XS and the XS Max, whose prices start at about $1,000. Here's the story from Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle, who covers Apple. Trip, explain.
The rationale here is, somebody cleverly put it, it's kind of like a Dutch auction, if you will. And what they meant by that was essentially they're starting the prices high, hoping that they can kind of upsell those people who are pressing to get new devices earlier. You know, if you're eager to buy one, maybe you'll come in and you'll say, you know, I don't really want to spend $1,000, but this is the only one available. I'm going to go ahead and get one. This is what analysts say the strategy could allow. So they might get a few more sales of that higher price phone before 5 weeks later the lower price option comes out.
What are the basic differences in features between those or among those?
The big contributing factor to why the pricing is different on these two models is the display style. The 10S and the 10S Max come with an organic light-emitting diode display or OLED screen, which has greater contrast than the traditional LCD screens that we've seen for many, many years on iPhones. And that 10R device is going to have the LCD screen. And that means it just costs less to build. And as a consequence, Apple can sell it at a lower price.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle. He covers Apple, and he's written a piece about Apple's new strategy, and that's to sell the pricier iPhones first. Apple, what, offers no comment or denies this? Or what do they say on their behalf?
Apple declined to comment on this. I mean, really what our reporting has found is just that the company set up the production process or the production cycle for these two devices so that the ramp or the build of the 10S and 10X Max preceded the build of the 10R. And that certainly is playing out and when those two devices go on sale as well.
Mm. What are the profits that Apple makes on these phones?
What are the profits Apple makes on these phones? Well, it accounts for about 3/4 of the company's gross profits. And you know, when it comes to total revenue on iPhones, I mean, it is 2/3 of Apple's sales. And last year, that meant that for the last fiscal year, that meant $141 billion in sales on iPhones.
Thanks, Trip. Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle. Shipping begins today for the iPhone XS and XS Max. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, September 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Kavanaugh's accuser is willing to testify next week. Rivers still cresting in North Carolina. Wall Street Journal says Google workers discussed how to tweak search functions to oppose the Trump administration travel ban. Dow Jones and S&P 500 reach new highs. The debut of Baker Mayfield a success as the Browns ended their winless streak by beating the Jets last night. And why a church gave a $900 tip to a delivery guy. That story in about 20 minutes. Drugs and suicide are pushing down life expectancy in the U.S. That's according to a special report from the CDC that found rising rates of overdose deaths, suicide, and chronic liver disease, even as Americans improve survival rates for other well-known causes of death, like cancer. More from Laura Kelly, health reporter at the Washington Times. Laura, what are we learning?
In 2014, average American could expect to live to about 78.9 years old. That's now down to about 70.6, which, I mean, doesn't seem like a big difference, but when you start to look at it, compared to other countries where their life expectancy on average is 81 years old and above, you're starting to see some real discrepancies. And when we zoom in on those numbers on gender, women live longer than men. So men are dying at an even earlier age, 77, 76, 75. And then also when you look at race, African-American men are dying maybe even I don't know the exact number, but it can be as low as a 70 or 72, 73. And so the researchers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention wanted to take a closer look at why these death rates why we were dying at earlier ages. And I think we all know what a toll the opioid epidemic has taken on in the U.S. And in 2017, 72,000 people died of a drug overdose. So that is one of the main drivers of bringing down life expectancy. It's really killing off people between the ages of 25 to 34 specifically. But what this latest report showed was that even older Americans, 40s and up, are dying from drug overdoses, from suicides, and there is an increase in liver disease among Americans, which is also driving death rates.
Boy, is the liver connection tied to drinking?
So there's three main reasons that are increasing liver disease. One is the obesity epidemic. So doctor from Johns Hopkins told me that they're seeing an increase in fatty liver disease. And then there's also complications from hepatitis C, that even though there is a cure for hepatitis C, they're still seeing people that are having symptoms decades later. And then the third is from drinking too much. And when taken all together, I mean, these things can be interrelated: drug use, drinking, depression, mental health. So this is something that the nation really needs to, I mean, I think we are looking at and just continue to highlight the risks.
Mm. We're speaking with Laura Kelly, health reporter at The Washington Times, and she's written a piece entitled "Drug Overdoses and Suicides Are Pushing Life Expectancy in the U.S. Behind That of Other Developed Nations." It's strange, right? I mean, I think you point out in the story, we're doing better with things we sometimes can't control, like cancer, yet doing poorly with things we can control.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not so many bright spots in this piece, but it was heartening to see that, you know, rates of heart disease are at least stable, if maybe going down a little bit, and cancer, death rates from cancer are also going down. And that just goes to show how valuable putting funding into research, I think, has shown those rewards. And that's what we're attempting to do now with drug use and with suicide, with expanding suicide prevention hotlines. And then hopefully also one of the diseases that is raising the death rate is Alzheimer's. And we really have no meaningful progress in treating or detecting Alzheimer's, and that is also, you know, advocates really push for increased funding, and I think it's starting to maybe move a little bit.
With regards to suicides, is there a reason tied to that? Anybody saying it's the way we medicate our kids these days? Obviously, you've heard that. I've heard that.
There's researchers from California who are looking into the role in smartphones and social media and how that affects especially teenagers, because while teenage boys and men in general commit suicide at a larger rate than women.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Kelly, health reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know the city of Cleveland was feeling good last night, and not just because the Browns won their first football game since Barack Obama was still president. After the team's comeback win over the Jets on Thursday Night Football, Budweiser came through on their promise to open all the victory fridges they had stashed in bars all around the city. The refrigerators were stocked full of free cans of Bud Light, but were sealed shut until the team sealed the deal and put a crooked number in the win column. Moments after that finally happened, a Wi-Fi signal was sent to simultaneously open all the fridges at once, and Browns fans everywhere got to enjoy a free cold one. Moments later, the company tweeted, "Cleveland, the Browns won. The fridges are open. Go celebrate with a Bud Light. You've earned it." The Cleveland Police Department was also happy for a Browns win, but then reality quickly set in. The department tweeted, "We won. Wait. Oh God, the free beer thing. Okay, Cleveland, stay calm. Go Browns.
Very good.
That was very clever on all parts. I was telling Jen, this is a great marketing gimmick for Bud Light.
Yeah, agreed.
For sure. And great technology. I love the fact that they could send some kind of Wi-Fi signal out to then open all the fridges at once. That's very cool technology.
That's like, I think at like concerts these days, like a Taylor Swift, for example, you know, kids are wearing like those glow stick necklaces or some sort of bracelets, and through a Wi-Fi signal, they can make them, you know, flash with the beat of the music, you know, and all that stuff. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Very cool. And of course, Jets fans drinking for a whole different reason.
Right.
Right.
Right. I went to bed happily at 14-3.
Yeah.
Right. With just leading 14-3.
But not very confident.
Correct.
You left here yesterday. You were not very confident about what was going to happen last night.
I must say that Baker Mayfield came in and just injected so much enthusiasm.
Yes.
I mean, you thought, okay, it's his debut, couple of handoffs. No. He was back to throw, I think, on the first three passes and fired missiles, you know, for gains of like 12 yards at a clip. And then they got that field goal on his first drive.
Already one of the most popular athletes in Cleveland history.
With 30 minutes of football under his belt.
Exactly. And there are a few among us, Gordon, who haven't griped over the high price of food and drinks that we buy, but we usually don't have this extreme of a reaction. A woman on Long Island in New York is going viral after she appeared to grow angry over the price of her coffee, then dramatically threw it over the counter at the employees of a 7-Eleven store. In the video, the woman is seen chatting on the phone while discussing the price of her three iced coffees with the man behind the counter. Police say she got into an argument with the clerk, then dumped one of the drinks before storming out of the store. The incident caused damage to $200 worth of cigarettes, and police are offering a $5,000 cash reward for tips that would lead them to finding her.
Jeez.
Yikes. I mean, and this is at a 7-Eleven, too. The coffee, I believe, I haven't gotten coffee there in a while. It's usually pretty cheap at a 7-Eleven.
Right.
It's one thing, you know, they kind of draw you in with the free, with the cheap coffee.
It's like a loss leader.
Right, to get you to buy the other stuff. So it wasn't like a Starbucks or something where she's paying $15 probably for those three big coffees. I'm not exactly sure what her gripe was. Like, oh, but what, you're making me pay for my coffee?
Right.
That's almost like what she was, that's kind of the face she had in the video. Like, what, I have to pay for this? It was kind of strange.
Did this happen after midnight, Mike?
This was actually broad daylight,
broad daylight?
It appears. Yeah, it was looked like a sunny day outside.
Wow, and caused damage to $200 worth of cigarettes.
Yes.
That's like two packs.
I was just going to say,
days? It's
like a pack and a half, right?
Man. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, during the Dell annual sale, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. The wages of married men far surpass those of all other groups. They exceed $80,000 a year by their peak earning years, while all other groups barely graze $50,000 per year. MarketWatch has looked at data from the University of Minnesota and a database of responses from the U.S. Census Bureau. This doesn't necessarily mean that married men are paid more because they are male and married, even if it seems like the most logical explanation. A research officer with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis says it might be that men with higher wages are just more likely to marry. In other words, correlation, he says, does not mean causation. However, married men earn more than single men and single or married women among people with at least a high school diploma. There is virtually no difference in wages between single workers of both sexes and married women, which the researcher says appears to put less stock in the idea that women who take time off to be full-time mothers take a wage hit. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's first news.
Gordon, a lawyer for the woman accusing Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's Supreme Court nominee of sexual assault, told a Senate panel she would not testify on Monday, as Republicans want, but would be willing to appear sometime next week if certain terms are met. Christine Blasey Ford had been given a Friday, today, deadline by the Republican-led Judiciary Committee to decide whether to testify at a hearing it has scheduled for Monday. Ford's attorneys say she could not testify until next Thursday. Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono says there's no reason to rush this through.
As a member of the Judiciary Committee, I've certainly had a lot to say about how Dr. Ford is being treated in this process. And she is not being treated fairly. There is absolutely no question about that.
The phone discussion ended with no decision about Ford's possible appearance. A woman working a temporary job at a drugstore warehouse in Maryland got into an argument at work yesterday morning and began shooting colleagues, killing three before fatally turning the gun on herself. The incident took place at a distribution facility in Harford County, Maryland. Harford County Sheriff Jeffrey Gaylor.
She was armed with one handgun and several magazines. No shots were fired by any law enforcement responder.
The 26-year-old woman, identified as Snochia Mosley, died at a hospital from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The special counsel's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election is garnering more information. President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, who pleaded guilty to campaign finance violations and other charges last month, tweeted yesterday that he has provided information to prosecutors without a cooperation agreement. Trump's longtime fixer-turned-foe could be a vital witness for prosecutors. Researchers say they've identified a site off the coast of Rhode Island near Newport where they think the ship that 18th-century explorer Captain James Cook used to sail around the world may be located. They describe the site as promising, but say it'll take a lot more work and money to identify the ship. Cook ran aground on Australia's Great Barrier Reef during a voyage to the South Pacific nearly 250 years ago. He used his ship, the Endeavour, to claim Australia for the British during his historic voyage.
I can't even imagine what that was like back then.
Oh, I can't.
Just kind of minimal navigation tools. He's in Australia. Ship winds up maybe off the coast of Rhode Island, right? Good stuff. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A church group in Birmingham, Alabama, pulled together a whopping $900 for their Domino's delivery man, all because they thought the driver, quote, could use a blessing. Senior Minister Gary Brantley of the Crossbridge Church of Christ told local ABC television that his congregation got the idea to reward the anonymous driver after his associate pastor walked into their local Domino's last week and learned that the driver was working multiple jobs to support his family. The group arranged for the driver to drop off a delivery order on Sunday, where he was rewarded with the $900 tip. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.